The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball, over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatory.
Ah, same corner, same time, fellas. What's up with it?
Living the dream, brother. Jordan will be on in about 5 minutes. I know people are going to ask where Jordan is. But, man, wonderful weekend down in your stomping grounds, Corey.
5-6-1, man. Valentine's weekend. We was trying to get together. It didn't happen. I tried. Traffic was crazy.
Yeah, we tried. Traffic was nuts. The music festival was perfect. And I'll tell you, I've been to a few. This is the first one that I've ever been to that was at a pristinely clean park. They had people picking up trash during the festival, hey, which is the first time I've ever seen it.
Great vibes. We're on a tight ship down here, man.
You do. To be honest with you, that was one of the best. I came out of retirement for one night only. And I can prove that I was in retirement because Corey and I are trying to connect after –
you went out of retirement though. You bowed out, bro.
Yeah, but we were trying to get together and it was late. I'm like, you know what? I don't think we're gonna be able to make this happen tonight. I grew up a little bit. I'm in my sourdough era now. But Kygo, Calvin Harris, Bunt, Sophie Tucker. Ooh. It was great. A lot of BPMs.
Yeah, interesting.
Then I got a lot of REM sleep that night.
This is the melding of two Dans. This is old weekend pool party Dan with the BPM.
Yep.
But like sourdough Dan took over. Corey's like, yo, the link up is at 12. And Dan goes, noon tomorrow? Certainly you don't mean midnight.
No, I mean, Corey and I try to link up for breakfast at 10:30. I'm like, no, we've already eaten breakfast. We went to this little bagel spot called McCabs.
Open the place up.
Anyway, we went there and we were almost on our way back by the time Corey hit us. I mean, this is just, I'm proud of myself. This is growing up. Nice, what adulting looks like.
I'm out. You know, we in Gardens having Valentine's Day dinner. So we wrap up and I had a Mai Tai there. They got their own little version of a Mai Tai, like an Indian restaurant we ate at. Stage, if you haven't ate there, it's spelled stage. So I was calling it stage and they correct me. It's Stage. But I got a Mai Tai drink that came with like a little IV bag. You know, me and wife shared it. Very strong. So I was lit, man. I'm ready to hang out. You know, Wife had to swing back by the house real quick. I was like, all right, just. She said she left. She needed a jacket, but she went and got her charger. She left a charger phone. That's what it really was. But anywho, I get downtown trying to find a spot to drink because I don't go out like that. I don't know what's popping no more. So you ask me what bars is good. I'm like, I don't know. Let me drive around and see real quick. A couple spots just look too young. By the time I found something, I hit Dan up. Dan was like, man, I heard it in his voice when he picked up, like a little about to let me down.
And then hey, man. Yeah, it was great. We went to Lola 41, which if you live down there, that's a place to be seen. I didn't know that. For sure. Right. I mean, you told me we booked a reservation a couple weeks ago. I figured it was a happening spot because the earliest we can get a reservation was 8:45. But that worked. We were coming down from Tampa, whatnot. We came there and we were dressed nice enough. No. That was not nice enough. But great times, great energy, great vibes. Shout out to the 561. It's been a while since I've been down there.
Nice. How'd you like Canopy, the top of the Hilton up there?
That's great, man. It was great. So we ended up having an Airbnb that canceled right as we were leaving Tampa. And they had a water leak issue. I don't know. They had something. And I jumped immediately on the Hilton app. There was one room available, so we grabbed it. We went there Friday night. That was great. Great. I mean, the weather was awesome. It was perfect. For sure. Friday was a little cool. Saturday was great weather. Nice. There was a nice little wind. We went to some EJ Bradley's. What's the place?
Yeah, that's right, my here? Spot too. Right. Dude. Down the intercoastal.
Yeah. My parents met up with us. They drove up from South Florida. So we got to spend a couple hours there. Great, great time. Food was good. The vibes were there. They were doing sound check for the music festival. So they got to hear. Still don't totally think they know like what we're into or like why. And I get it, right? You hear them bump it up and then turn it back down. I'm like, yeah, this is it. But for like 5.5 hours long. But it was awesome. So can't wait to go back.
How's your Valentine's Day, Nick? Anything special you see then?
No.
Lay the roses on the bed, bro. I know you did.
Friday was, I think I left the house at 7 to go to the office and got home at 11:30. Saturday, Valentine's Day, I was at golf at 8 o'clock until baseball at 2, and then baseball was a doubleheader. So we did Valentine's Day Sunday. Brilliant. Flowers were BOGO on Sunday. Woke up early again Sunday.
Good
Laura
for
got
you.
Double the flowers that she would have gotten for half nice. The price. Frankie got flowers, and then we did a little day out. Sunday Valentine's Day nice. With the family. But yeah, spring's busy.
You good, Dan?
Oh, yeah. I was just waiting for you to chime back in.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's weekend. Yeah,
no. Yeah, cool. No. And yours sounded good. And you went to what, a Rivals thing in the morning, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had the Rivals combine this weekend. Kids just testing, doing their 40s, positional drills. It was a lot like they'd run the NFL combine, like pretty much the same drills. St. Thomas Aquinas. Shout out to
it was down. I didn't even know. Yeah. What a
they
setup.
They had the statue out front. I forgot to tell you, man.
Perfect.
I think
perfect.
Jordan knew that was at STA. But yeah, it was at STA, bro. Nice facilities y'all got out there, man. I like the way the baseball feel. Everything connects right there. It's like a. I didn't know it was in the middle of the hood like that. I'd have been there a million times, but yes. I didn't realize like it's in the hood. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. There was a little. There's no way they're not in prison or jail at this point. As you go over the bridge towards the beach, there was like a little quickie stop that no ID. Don't worry about it. Don't ask. Don't tell. Take your beer. Give me the cash. That was the spot back in high school. Speedy's Raceway. Shout out to Speedy's forever. Yeah,
Speedy's probably definitely.
If Speedy's is open.
Speedy's is probably not open anymore.
Yeah, Nick.
We're under new management. One of the two.
Probably needs to Speedy some commentary, man.
Speedy's got Pruno on tap.
So.
All right.
I was like, hey, this is in the hood. I didn't realize that. Well, the usual way was at night because you go for a football game, so it's not in the middle of the day, right? So we didn't realize that. Anyway, what we got?
Yeah, let's get let's get on with the show. We got a lot to talk about. We got Zach Appleverdy joining us in the next block of time that we have. But we got two quick ad reads, and then we'll get on with a little bit about baseball and golf and a little basketball, and then we'll get to Zach.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best, and I'm pretty sure he can save you some money. For a free quote, this costs you about 10, 15 minutes of your time. Give him a call at 954-589-2204. Or if you just like the vibe on the internet, visit bruntinsurance.com. But hit Greg up. I'm a customer of Greg. Dan is a customer of Greg. We all rock with him a little bit around here. Great customer service. You're not getting some operator or call center in India or Asia, some Asian country. You're getting actual Greg on the phone to take care, or his staff on the phone to take care of what you need, man. But hit Greg up for all your insurance needs. Make sure you get all your insurance before hurricane season. We're in off season right now. You don't want to wait till the last minute. Hit Greg up at bruntinsurance.com or 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby?
And one time for our friends over the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. If you are having issues with your insurance company, probably not one that Greg's going to hook you up with, but another insurance company, and you're having issues with your claims, pipes leaking water, water damage, maybe my Airbnb host could have reached out to this group if they have issues. Well, we'll put it in the Airbnb chat, but wind damage, hail damage, hurricane, sinkhole, snow, water, all of that kind of fun stuff. Give them a call, 855-652-1377. They used to work for the insurance companies, and now they work to protect you against their predatory behavior. So 855-652-1377, and that's Dykus Burke Law. That's DICUSBURKELaw.com to give them a call. All right, Nick, since you were at both, we're going to knock out golf and baseball. Baseball goes 2-1 on the weekend. They lose the opening round to UAB, and then or the opening game, pardon me, and then they go back with an 11-0 and a 6-1 win to win the series. They have a midweek game this week, and then golf wins the Gator Invitational, beating the last three national champions in golf, Florida, Auburn, and Oklahoma State, as well as who else was there, Nick?
A ton of teams. I think there were double-digit teams there. Notre Dame, UNF, Georgia Southern. But the Florida was paired with Auburn and Oklahoma State.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe that's where I read it incorrectly. But the Gators end up winning in decisive fashion. Really great final round on Sunday. But Nick, walk us through a little bit about baseball.
Starting with baseball, tough night Friday. UAB, I don't know if they're – I really don't know anything about UAB. I don't know.
I know you're looking like a liar a little bit. I know it's game one, but
– Well, like they've got – I forget the school. Their leadoff guy, their center fielder, he's like 5'10 in cleats, 150 pounds. And leading off the game, he played at a school last year that shut the baseball program down and then transferred to UAB.
Just our luck.
And Liam Peterson's throwing 98, 97, and this kid's just fouling it back. And I'm like, when has this kid seen 98, 97?
Right.
And he's no problem with it. So Liam Peterson really struggled to throw strikes. Just didn't have it. He's been good in the regular season. His struggles have been in the postseason. So you expect him to bounce back. He's a first round draft pick, not the way he pitched Friday, but by all projections, preseason is a first round draft pick at the end of the year. I think Florida out hit UAB Friday night, but each team had three errors, and Florida walked eight, hit two. So you're not going to win many games like that. They come back the next day and 10-run UAB in the first game and win decisively in the second game. I thought Aiden King was really good. A bunch of people were talking. We've kind of been talking about it privately at Condra that we think Aiden King might end up being the Friday night guy. Velo wasn't there. He was only like 90 to 92 throwing, but pitched. And I think a lot of kids now are just trying to throw as hard as they can. They don't know how to pitch. So it was nice to see him working his pitches, working, throwing fastball both sides of the plate, setting batters up rather than just trying to throw 1,000 miles an hour. But
it's Nick, if you want to know how dumb I am, when you said Velo wasn't there, I'm like,
I thought you were talking about Velo.
I'm talking about our boy Velo. I'm like, I know he's a big supporter of the team. I'm like, I didn't know him being there was indicative of whether the team is going to win or not, but.
Yeah, his velocity. Velocity.
You gotta say it for the regulars, bro. Casuals. You can't be saying Velo nicknames on velocity, bro.
He's a kid who, I mean, like, touched 98 last year. So throwing, you know, later in his outing.
Got
you know,
some sauce on that thing. What?
Later in his outing, he's, you know, throwing a fastball 88, 89. And, you know, as you get tired, and that's not a velocity that we're used to seeing from him. But he pitched well. Quality start, gets the win. And then Cooper Walls, a transfer from Hawaii, gets the start in game two. He'll be the Sunday guy. He was really good. And it was cool to see him pitching in Hawaii. You're not going to get in front of a bunch of big crowds. It was a weird weekend crowd-wise at baseball because you had the doubleheaders at softball as well. And then obviously you had Florida-Kentucky, which takes a lot of people. But after the Florida-Kentucky game let out, all those people kind of like migrate to Condren. So you had him and then Ernesto Lugo Controla, who pitched at a D3 school last year. He was like a D3. Lugo Controla.
But Webby said up at breakfast, boy, y'all got some names on y'all.
He got to pitch and talking to the coaches after the game, they're like, he might have. Biggest crowd he's pitched in front of might be 87 people. I was like, all right, there was more than 87. So he was pumped. It didn't matter that it was UAB. Overall, good weekend. I think they moved up in D1 baseball's rankings. Friday was just got ugly. Like, you booted 3 balls. In the first inning, you drop a pop-up, which would have ended the inning in the first. You drop a pop-up at first base. Then if you don't drop, you win that game in regulation. So it's just little things. But, yeah, there were some crazy scores around the country. I think Texas A&M put 23 up on somebody.
Didn't Missouri put up like 34?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see if Missouri's good. They have to go heavy portal every year. Kentucky's playing their own brand of baseball. They stole 26 bases over 3 games.
It's a lot of stealing.
Next highest was 6 in the SEC.
That's okay.
Yeah, SEC doesn't steal. It's power pitching, power hitting, and then Kentucky plays its own kind of baseball.
Yeah, it's a lawful conference.
They should focus on baseball right now because basketball is not really working for them. What do you think? What do you think? You just think this is a first game type situation? You still feel good about our bullpen in the bats? Like, what's your overall feel for the team?
Yeah, I feel really good. I feel really good about the bullpen, specifically Josh Rittenour. So Luke McNeely is injured. He's going to be one of the big guys coming out of the bullpen. He'll be back, but I don't expect to see him pitch in the midweeks. Some people were talking about he didn't pitch over the weekend because he was going to get a midweek start, but he's dealing with an injury. But that's a guy who could be a weekend starter on another SEC club. Who you have coming out of the bullpen in leverage situations. And then Florida's got a freshman, Josh Rittenour, who came into the game pumping 98 out of the bullpen. He's like 6'4", right-hander. So there's a ton of bullpen depth. They just have to throw strikes. And like the last 3 years, every year it felt like I was writing a story that was like Florida walks the most guys they have in program history. And then the next year it was Florida walks the most guys they have since last year. So they have to throw strikes. They walked one guy on Saturday in 16 innings. They walked one guy. They walked 8 on Friday. It's just not a winning brand of baseball. So they have the arms. They have the talent. But like, if you're giving people free bases, you're gonna lose ball games. Especially when you start playing LSU, Texas, A&M, Georgia, And then I think this team's really going to hit. You've got Kyle Jones. I made a friendly wager with one of my guys, one of my buddies who's a baseball coach, about what Kyle Jones' slash line would be, which is your batting average, on-base percentage, slugging. And then Kyle Jones had five doubles in the leadoff spot this weekend, crushing the ball. Cash Strayer was the SEC player, SEC freshman of the week. Brendan Lawson's going to hit 350. Playing a decent shortstop. And if we're going to get real nerdy into it, we can, but I think Florida's got bats, and they've got some really strong arms, but you have to throw strikes. And that was the biggest tell of the weekend. Was Friday, you walked eight, hit two, and you lose a game that you shouldn't lose to a program you shouldn't lose to. You don't walk anyone, you blow them out of the water, and it's not even close the next day.
Yeah, I just need some heat off of Coral Springs High School legend David Cobb.
Yeah, like,
and I don't know how much is rightfully so or not, but I'm struggling.
I've talked to him about it, and like he's not throwing the pitches for him. I think a lot of it is the symptom of where baseball is, because like chasing velocity is all the way down to like 10-year-olds, and 10-year-olds are going and doing like weighted balls and like trying to build the arm strength up. Cause if you throw 95, you get a scholarship. If you throw 95, you get drafted. Yeah. And kids aren't learning how to pitch. Like when I was playing, a pitcher might throw his fastball at three different velocities. And now everyone just throws everything as hard as they can every single time. And you don't learn how to pitch, how to spot stuff. But that being said, other teams in the SEC are walking a lot less batters than Florida. And they also throw very hard.
Hmm. Okay.
We had a funky pitching year like a few years ago that was a little weird. Like we thought we had a good pitching committee. And it was just we were hitting a lot of batters and whatnot, like walking a lot.
Yeah.
It was like a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's been like the last 3 years. The last 3 years, it's just been like a same constant theme of getting behind batters and giving up hits or just – issuing free passes.
I know he don't pitch, but like how could you change that? Like
great question. You could be,
we gotta get him back on the show and talk to him about it. How about that, man?
I could be the pitching coach if I had that. But hitting wise, get him
back on the show, Dan.
Well, he's never been on the show. We had Chuck Girolamo. We should get Cop on.
Chuck's gone, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck's gone. Chuck's a coward.
No.
Left to go to Tennessee. No, Nick. It's fine. Great guy.
Man, coward. What is a coward?
Not a real coward, just a coward for what happened. Yes, we'll see, right? Teams are going to lose in baseball. You don't want to lose to UAB, but at the end of the day, you take an opportunity. And I know, you know, some of the fans, on Twitter seemed upset, flummoxed with Liam Peterson. Well,
it's a pattern with Liam, because if you go back to his freshman year, he ends up earning a weekend spot, and he looks good all throughout the year. And then the NCAA tournament comes and he's terrible. Then he becomes the Friday night guy last year, and he's good all season long. He has a weekend or two here where he blows up, and it's going to happen. Like Paul Skeens had bad starts at LSU, but then he got to the postseason and he was terrible. And he's just been awful in big moments. And you could argue that junior year, your draft year, opening day, doesn't matter the opponent, big moment, and he was awful. He was terrible. So it's not just like they're not just mad at I think Liam, because he walked five guys in three. He only lasted three and a third. I think they're like tired of it. And it's like, all right, we know what he is. He's going to pitch all right in the regular season, and then that's what he's going to do. You know, I think that's kind of the frustration that you're getting with him. But he just has to figure it out mentally, because he has all the talent to pitch in the major leagues. And I think it just gets to him, and things start to snowball with him.
Yeah. Definitely tough. But game four against Stetson is tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah. Game four is at Stetson tomorrow. That'll be a homecoming for
beautiful
Kyle Jones.
DeLand, Florida.
Something DeLand, Florida. It's home and home. So at Stetson Tuesday, that'll be the first game. Kevin O'Sullivan is in the dugout for his 3-game suspension's over. So Sully back in the dugout Tuesday in DeLand. I would have argued potentially for a 4-game suspension. Like, hey, let me just hang out at the house. Don't have to get on a bus to DeLand. And then Florida hosts Stetson Wednesday. And then
people like give me heat about Jacksonville. Nick's arguing some things that are worse than I am about beautiful DeLand, Florida.
Have you been to DeLand?
No. No. I've passed by the exit every time.
I had a cousin that was living up there, and the hurricane hit down when I was like 21, 22 years old. Power was out in South Florida. I went to DeLand for a few days. It's a place.
Turned back around and went and lived without power back in West Palm Beach.
It was a place, man. Homes were cheap back then there, though.
I think they still are.
The only place in Florida where homes are cheap. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
Let's rock.
They got a downtown now. Okay, I didn't know that.
How about that?
I did not know that.
I've only been to the out of town.
Right, the in town, uptown.
In a couple other, yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
Golf. Really cool to see when I was at golf. The number one amateur in the country. I don't know his last name. His first name is Jackson. For Auburn. Really cool to see him. And then Auburn and Florida were just like back and forth. It's the only. They only host one tournament a year. Really big win for JC and the boys. So cool to be out there.
That's a cool event.
Yeah, I saw Summerall. He was there Saturday morning. My guy's just up early because he was like there for everyone to first tee off. I got there a little bit later.
Yeah, he's posting on Twitter at like 4:45 in the morning. I think if you do that every day, like you just don't know how to sleep in.
No, there's no sleeping in, man.
I mean, again, the proof will be in the pudding in football, but I do like how involved he seems to be. And it seems a little bit more natural than some previous administrations that were here that just kind of showed up at things between the pizza drop-off before the basketball game, going to the golf tournament, kind of just snapping pictures. It seems like he's living a dream, and hopefully it's – a good dream, not a nightmare.
Yeah, from my interactions with him, I texted this to a group chat this week because they were talking about it. One, he's just like, I think Florida is doing a good job of capitalizing on the PR of it, but I think he's just like a guy that likes sports. And I think he just is genuinely going to stuff because he likes watching sports. And then two, none of it matters. Like 12 Saturdays in the fall – 11 Saturdays in the fall, and then one on Cartoon Network because of the ACC.
In the grand scheme of it all.
Like it's great now, right? Yeah, like it's great. It's great PR, but like I like you said, Dan, it does feel genuine. I feel like he's just like a bro. I've said to some of like the football players, I'm like, dude, I think like coach wants to put eye black on and like needs a helmet and like wants to just like keep playing. That's just kind of his kind of attitude. Like everyone loves a coach who's 0-0.
Yeah. What's better than this? Guys being dudes, you know what I mean?
This is a bottom line fan base. I mean, we got some sunshine pumpers that'll ride, you know, but it'll get noisy. It just is what it is. I thought like all of them had certain things that like qualities I liked about them. Like Napier has some just family, ways that he built the team, you know, a lot of things too. When he spoke, like his mindset, a lot of things about his mindset I like. Mm-hmm. But it just came down to like I wanted Billy to win, but like Nick says, it's a bottom line business around this football thing, mm-hmm. man. I think coaches like Cignetti made it even tougher, right? Just winning big right away, you know. It just shows like that type of turnaround. So it just comes down to the wins, man. But I do like how he's moving.
Mm-hmm. One for Pop. come on, man. Like, you're not fooling anyone.
Oh yeah. He made it hanging heavy.
Just for men.
Yeah.
I mean, either get the NIL deal and get some extra cash in the commercial or just come on home, Kurt. It's fine. You look distinguished.
Yeah,
he looks younger than we do.
No, you don't.
The hair color.
His hair looks younger than our facial hair, but
that's true.
No, he does not look young, man. You're not fooling nobody.
Let's see. Softball is currently 12-0 on the year. Had a tournament, the Florida Classic this week, and they played Marshall, Georgia Tech, FIU, Marshall, Georgia Tech again. They won. Bigly, as they would say, 47-16 was their run differential. So congratulations, shout out to them. They also have a game tomorrow on Tuesday. They're pulling a reverse doubleheader or a reverse situation. They're playing UNF in Gainesville tomorrow, and then they'll head up to beautiful Jacksonville, Florida to play them on Wednesday. And then the Florida tournament, which I don't
think
know
about going up to that one, Dan.
No, I've got plans. And then the Florida tournament, which I don't know the difference between the Florida Classic, which doesn't include Florida teams except for FIU, and the Florida tournament. But this one will feature Longwood, Middle Tennessee State, Lindenwood, Longwood, and then Middle Tennessee State again. So I would imagine that the Gators will sit at, what did I just say, 7 games, 19-0 by this point next season. And then they'll head off to the Judy Garment Classic out in Fullerton, which is outside of the Anaheim area, California, to play Cal and a number of other schools. So we will definitely keep you guys up to date on that. We're still waiting on Zach. So let's talk a little bit of basketball. The Gators, again, steamrolled the Fighting Mike Whites. Mike White now moves to 1-8 as Georgia's head coach against the Florida Gators. They won on Thursday, 86-66. So that completed the season sweep for them. And then the Gators went and defeated Kentucky on Saturday afternoon, 92-83. Kentucky was ranked number 25 in the country. And again, that Florida went out to a really solid lead at the beginning. I think they were up 15. They let Kentucky go on a 10-0 run. But then after that, the Gators just continued to continue to score and keep Kentucky out of fighting range in that one. Xavien Lee was the SEC player of the week. He is actually the fourth Gator on the basketball team that has been named an SEC player of the week. So we continue to see him get better as the season progresses. We continue to see Ruben Chinyelu do his thing, Tommy Hawks doing his thing, and then Alex Condon is obviously having a fantastic year as well. So I was only able to catch the first half of that game and then follow the rest as I was walking walking through downtown. But talk to me a little bit about basketball. Were you guys able to catch any of that? Welcome, Jordan.
I caught on the fly like you did, but if that backcourt gets like it start living up to the potential, like it's starting to, like Xavier Lee starting to come on a little bit, bro, they can make a run. That's what I'm just gathering just from watching the last couple of games. I've been on the run for both of them, but you know they're starting to pick up some momentum as you head to March Madness. But if that backcourt get hot, Gator boys might get hot again, man.
They, I think they are the best team in the SEC, kind of what we thought before the year. But, like, even, like, they just play greasy. Like, Todd's talking greasy after games. Todd's firing shots. After the Kentucky game, Zach was there. Todd was like, yeah, it's a $22 million roster. They're pretty good. Todd's taking shots at guys.
Like they, I like that.
They don't like even on the court. Like they get it. Like they could probably play like University of Alabama Wesleyan, and you would get guys like throwing elbows and pushing. Like they just play with an edge to them. Yeah, it's a fun team to watch. I think you do need to get.
Hey, Dan, bro, you got mute up. They be typing, dog.
Oh, my bad.
You're going crazy.
My bad. I'm trying to get our agenda for Zach ready. He's waiting for us.
All good.
We can bring Zach on. We can bring Zach on to talk basketball. But, yeah, I think getting Xavien going would be great. Boogie's like outside of his shooting, which is pretty important to basketball. Like outside of his outside shooting, I think he's been great. He's been playing fantastic defense. Finishing at the rim stronger than I thought he would. When he came in, the first couple times I talked to him, he talked about needing to get bigger and stronger to be able to drive and to get in the lane and play down there. And then we know what the front court's like. Urban Klausha has been, one of the best six men, if not six men of the year in the SEC. It's definitely a fun team, and they play with attitude.
Well, let's get Zach on to talk a little bit of basketball, football, and all others in between. Zach, as you guys know, he's been on the show a bunch. He's currently a writer for On Three and Gators Online, and also is a host of WRUF 981 with our guy Jeff Cardoza and an adjunct professor at the University of Florida. Zach, it's a pleasure to have you on, brother.
And a baseball dad. Can y'all not see me?
I can't see
you. No, not at all, man.
Let me try and switch up my thing. Hold on.
John Cena. Dun, 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 dun. Do you guys ever see the fake prank call of somebody calling pretending to be John Cena? It was like a military thing, and maybe not. Anyway, you guys should go check it out. John Cena prank phone call. It's worth it, Jordan. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
No luck.
You might kind of find it immature and silly. Nick?
Yeah, I'm a very mature guy, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have a sense of humor at all.
Yeah. It's not too gratifying. While we wait for Zach, let's do a quick shout out for our friends over at Game Time. Oh, well, we hear you, Zach. Hold on. I'm going to do an ad break. We got to pay the bills around here.
Do it.
One time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. You want a cool cup like this, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout will get you not only a great cup for a great price, we'll also get you a great discount as well. Tons of different offerings, tons of different options for you to go check out. So again, that's GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. And with that, there he is.
Zach. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
What up? Chilling.
Good to see you, man.
You're adding back there. What's up there? What's on the wall back behind you now?
I added some MJ stuff.
Oh. No pics from last night.
I got a little media national championship ring up there too.
Okay.
You know, the fine folks at Meldon Law hooked us up that Merrimack game.
Wait,
Nick couldn't hook his boy up, so I had to find other ways. No,
you have a national championship ring from Meldon Law.
I do.
They did a giveaway at a basketball game.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And they even gave one to the media members. So shout out to them.
Well, shout out to them. They're not a sponsor of the show, Zach. So one more time that you can say it, then after that, they're done.
Yeah, that ring was provided by the fine folks.
All right. Zach, we're just finishing. I think you heard the tail end of our conversation about basketball. I know you keep close ties on it. Just overall team seems to be kicking it in high cylinder right now. And reading some of the reports online, it seems like folks are now including Florida and one of those teams to watch for, and where they probably projected Florida to maybe be a 4 seed, then a 3 seed. Now some folks even think maybe a 2 seed. What are kind of some of your expectations and, you know, thoughts from what we've seen out of this team, especially the last few weeks?
Yeah. I mean, they're hitting threes now, and their backcourt is playing as well as it's played all season. So if you get games like they've gotten from Xavier Lee, and you get this team making 10 threes in a game, even 9 threes in a game, like they're going to be hard to beat. They've always been able to lean on their front court. That's been their bread and butter. They've been the best rebounding team in the country all season. You know, Chinyelu wasn't going off in non-conference play like he's going off now. So that has changed. Xavier playing the way that he's playing has changed. Urban and Isaiah Brown off the bench doing what they're doing has been a big boost. And then, like, hindsight's 2020, man, but the teams, or at least some of the teams that they lost to, or three of them are in the top five right now in Duke, UConn, and Arizona. So, I mean, as bad as it was looking in non-conference play, you know, we've come to find out, and we knew it then, but that Florida, you know, took some losses to some really good teams, and they were in every single one of those games. And I bet you if they got a chance to play them again and they ran it back, Florida would come out on top.
Yeah, I think – I mean, those, like, three losses, too, were by 10 points, and you're playing UConn in UConn's backyard, you're playing Arizona in Vegas, and you're playing at Duke, which is probably the toughest place to play.
Yeah.
It is interesting. It's been – we've talked to Eric about it. We've talked to Neil about it. The – how much Ruben Chinyelu's game has progressed from the kid – I mean, I just saw – I think it was last week – a picture of him from Washington State. And whatever they the strength program's doing here, it's doing wonders. He looks like, you know, the first tight end that who's going to be drafted this year for the NFL physically. What's it been like with him? Just watching him progress this year into like an SEC Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If you guys know Ruben, that's his favorite. Literally his favorite thing to say in interviews. Everything's beautiful with that guy. And look, man, it's incredible what he's done. Like, I, when he decided to enter the NBA draft last year and, like, I guess test the waters or at least see where he was at, like, it kind of caught me by surprise because I wasn't even expecting that that was something that he was looking ahead to at that point. And now, like, I get it. Like, the way that that dude has – attack the offseason and come back this year, you know, taking his defensive game to another level. But what he's done on offense, you know, being able to average a double-double, like he's had three 20-rebound games. And then you mentioned the defensive. Like, he had probably the best defensive stretch of the year earlier this season, that kind of highlight play that he had to end the first half. So, shout-out to Carlin Hartman, man. He is the guy that has developed this dude from – when they got him over at Washington State, has pushed him to another level. And he's just the greatest guy in the world, man. Like, he's such a beast on the court. And then you talk to him in interviews and stuff, and just the nicest guy. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening after this season and if the fine folks at Florida Victorious might be able to give those guys some incentive to come back. But
I know,
but nonetheless, man, he's I tell you what, if he does come back for one more year, he's probably going to have every rebounding record in school history.
Yeah, Rue. it'll be interesting to see what he does. Not a Florida Victorious athlete.
That's right.
The only ones, I think, one of the only ones on the basketball team that isn't with us, but also enjoy Carlin Hartman while you can. Not sure how long Carlin Hartman will be an assistant coach. Nothing against Florida, just how long he'll be an assistant coach. He's got head coach written all over him. And then we were mentioning a little bit earlier, Zach, Xavier Lee and Boogie. I've always said that teams that make it far in the tournament have great, like, elite point guard play or elite guard play. Or they're old. Last year, Florida had the mix of both. They had elite guards who were all seniors. This year, it's been front court heavy, but how's the back court kind of evolving? X obviously coming off of a great week. And then Boogie still looking to figure it out from shooting deep, but how have you seen the back court kind of evolve?
Yeah, like, that's it. Like, that's the only really thing that you can point your finger on to be like, that's still the thing that's not happening, is Boogie hitting from threes. Like, I think those dudes are doing everything else. I think that Florida's decision to let Denzel Aberdeen walk was validated in this last game. And I know that Boogie Flan didn't have his best game, but he did have two defensive stops in the last minute while guarding Aberdeen with the game on the line when they cut it to five. So, like, he's been, every time Florida puts him against that best guard on the other team, Boogie shuts them down. So he's been doing that all year, and then he's had his moments, man. I keep going. You were there, Nick. Like, that dude hit a go-ahead three-pointer at Duke in that moment, you know, facing that crowd. Like, the dude can make big shots, and I think that he'll make more to come, like, this season when they get into the postseason. But between him and Xavier, like, Xavier had been then doing a lot of other things well. Like, even when he wasn't making shots, he was distributing the ball crazy. His penetration, the way that he drives and, like, in traffic, some of the decisions, split-second decisions that he makes, is very impressive for a guy coming over from Princeton that hadn't played at this, you know, level of competition. And now he's hitting shots on top of that, and he's got his confidence back. So they're a great 1-2 punch. Obviously, this is the last go-around for Xavier Lee. He got SEC Player of the Week today. But, you know, there's a chance the Gators get Boogie back as well. And imagine what he could do with another year under his belt. So, like, they still haven't had a game yet where both of them, like, are absolutely firing on all cylinders. Like, the closest thing they had was the Providence game. That game, they both hit 4 3-pointers in that game. But they haven't had that yet in an SEC game. They've came close to it. Obviously, the game they had recently was good. But, like, I still feel like Florida's best game is out there, and certainly the best game from those two, like, at the same time, being a tandem.
Yeah, I wasn't there. Real quick, Dan, I wasn't there. What was the Denzel Aberdeen reception?
Booze.
It was – he got some good booze. They chanted Florida dropout. like – I mean, every time he touched the ball, he got booed.
That's tough.
And look, man, he made some big plays, and he scored 19 points, and he led the Wildcats in scoring. But the dude shot 21 shots. Like, that's not good basketball. He shot 21, I think, made 8. So he was not very efficient. He had never had a game in his career where he shot that many shots. So he was clearly being aggressive, just trying to, you know, trying to show everybody, I'm sure, in Gainesville, you know, what they missed out on. And again, like, I feel like the decision to end up, I don't know how that all played out. Like, because Aberdeen hit the portal 2 days after Xavier Lee left. But, like, I don't think that that's necessarily what ran Aberdeen away. I think it's Boogie. Like, I think if it's one or the other between those two. Like, if you still have Aberdeen, you don't have Boogie. And because they lost Aberdeen, they were able to go get Boogie. So,
yeah, Aberdeen.
I think it's worked out
before Boogie went in.
What's that?
Aberdeen was already in the portal before Boogie went in the portal, because Boogie was flirting with the NBA.
Tampering, love it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
finally.
He decided to go in the portal 2 days after Xavier committed to Florida, and a lot of people took that as, oh, he's leaving because of Xavier. I didn't necessarily think that. I think it was all about the money with him. That just happened to coincide right when they got Xavier. If Florida doesn't decide to give the money that they were willing to pay Denzel, they probably don't go out and get Boogie. I think it's worked out for Florida, because I think he's a better better defender than Denzel is, Boogie. And you know, he's not making the three-pointers, I guess, but I think he's running the offense and operating it at what they want, for the most part. And I just remember how much Denzel drove Florida fans nuts. On our message board, he would get crushed when he would get in the game, and any little mistake that he made, people would just ride him. So, I mean, I don't think a lot of Florida fans are feeling any type of way about him not being here. Even though Boogie and Xavier at times haven't been giving them what they want, like, where we're at now, I think it worked out for Florida, in my opinion.
I don't think you're ever going to have a complete basketball team, completely complete, right? Sure. Every team's going to have some issues. I mean, they're college kids at the end of the day. You know, a lot of NBA teams aren't even complete teams. So, you know, if that's
I'll tell you what, though, last year's team was pretty damn complete.
Yeah, and that's like, I was like, all right.
But well, we still waited a while for them to, like, to play like a complete game. That was like the theme of the season, is like when they're going to put it all together a little bit. Because there was a lot of
But it all, like, worked out. Like some, but, I mean, they also
somewhat, but like also they lost 12. 4 games. So you're like, man, ugh. I couldn't turn that game off they won.
Okay,
they
it's were down very, by 10 very hard to have a complete team in college basketball, barring,
correct,
obviously, a fantastic team last year. Defensively, these guards seem like huge upgrades over what could have been, and then you have Isaiah Brown coming off the bench, giving some great points and doing some great work, and then Urban Klavjar. Nick, how do you pronounce it? You've been getting better and better with the pronunciation recently.
Urban Klavjar.
Yeah, him. He's been doing great. And like Nick said, he is a candidate for sixth man of the year for the SEC, and maybe he probably won't win for all the NCAA, but definitely up there at least in consideration. So another great squad that Todd Golden and his team have put together. Want to talk a little bit about football, because you've been able to sit down with a lot of the new coaches over the last couple of weeks as they've introduced.
Yeah. Today we got the last round of them.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about today. I know that you had McKissick. Talk to us a little bit about today before I forget any.
Yeah. Today we had McKissick came through, Brandon Harris. We got to meet with. He was fantastic. And we can get into a lot of his interview, because I mean there's a lot of storylines with Brandon Harris, and obviously he's important, at least to me, because of the South Florida ties. We got to hear from Greg Gasparato, the linebackers coach, and Chris Foster, the running backs coach. But Brandon Harris was interesting. Obviously, we wanted to ask him about South Florida and his ties down there, and but he, like, I can't remember if I talked to Nick about this at one point. I might have, but I said, I mean, the dude, he was proving his recruiting chops, like, right out of the gate after he got hired, just because of all the dudes that were – or dudes, schools that were coming after Javari and Ben Hanks, and I'm sure Cormani too. And, I mean, he talked about today he was having to do FaceTime calls on a Disney cruise – with his family, and I was like, man, his wife must have been pissed. And he said, no, she's a football wife. Like, she knows if I want to have a job and us to be good, I better keep these players at Florida. So
want to make it a Disney cruise and not a Carnival cruise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But hey, that shows Harris's commitment, man. Like, he set out time to FaceTime all these dudes. And
all offense to Carnival, by the way.
Yeah. and Javari, I felt like Javari could have got that one could have went left if he didn't have the ties that he did to him and his family. And I don't think Ben was going anywhere once Brandon Harris got hired. So he's a huge addition. Obviously, he's a coach that has expertise, has played at this level, has played at the NFL. But like, you got to have a guy that can get your foot in the door in South Florida. Like, if you don't have that on your staff at UF, you're losing. And so, huge addition, cool storyline too, with him going against his brother now at Florida State. And that's where he was going to go. He was literally on his way to FSU, and Summerall called him and he said, nope, I'm going to go to Gainesville instead. And now he's coached at every single Division I football program in the state of Florida now. So he's hit all the stops. But I really enjoyed getting to hear from him. Chris Foster was great too. He got hired and literally the next day was in Jaden Ball's living room. So he had a quick turnaround.
You get hired and you're like, all right, I'll see you in Gainesville. No. We're gonna need you to head up to Atlanta. What do you mean?
You're getting on this jet. Yeah. On Christmas Eve, by the way, like, so, and look, they did a good job of selling him. I mean, you're talking about, think about the advantage that Jaluk had. Think about the advantages that Texas had, like what they can sell as a program, where their team is at. They know who their quarterback is. I mean, there's a lot of things that Texas had going for him. And they couldn't even get the guy to go in the portal and take a visit, unlike Jaden Woods. So a lot of that had to do with that visit that he had with Summerall and Buster Faulkner and Chris Foster. So those guys did a good job. Faulkner, fortunately, I think for Florida, had a little bit of history with him and the dad, and they got a lot of respect for Buster. So that was huge for Florida, because as we all know, that was a big get for this program. And then hearing from Greg Gasparato, he's got a great linebackers room. He's excited about his group. He kind of went through all the guys that he's got in that room. Thinks really highly of Miles Graham. And I think he's obviously leading the pack there. And then also McKissick, that's probably one of the most intriguing positions, if we're being honest, because it's a brand new, whoever ends up starting and playing there, they're going to basically be brand new, whether it's Amir Jackson or some of the other transfers that they brought in. So a lot of question marks in that room, but he feels good about the guys that they've got. Obviously getting Amir back was a big deal, because he had hit the portal and was leaving. And McKissick actually had history with him, offered and recruited him when he was at Troy. And I think that their connection helped bring him back into the fold. And then I think the Georgia Tech tight end, to me, has got a chance to be an impact guy just because he's played in Buster's offense. But he likes the room as a whole. But those guys, he also didn't sugarcoat it. He was like, I don't know what I got. Like, these guys are smart. And they got good football IQ, but I don't know how they're going to play and how tough they are. And we'll find that out in the spring. So I'm impressed with the staff in general. Just they seem like they've got expertise, and they're much more equipped than the previous regime.
For those that didn't get the chance to were they streamed on YouTube?
They were not.
Okay.
No, they
so
were not.
Energy, how would you compare like energy? Not that this matters necessarily, but what are their energy levels like? I mean, not a lot of people know much about Gasparano or Evan McKissick or Foster, right? And I think there was, and disappointment is the absolute wrong word to use, but I think there are some expectations maybe about who some of these people might be. What is their personality like, their energy like? Not everybody's going to be the yeller and screamer. Some people are going to be more thoughtful, more poised. Some people are going to be more soft-spoken. What's kind of the personality of the staff beyond, John Summerall?
One thing that the sense that I got in general, not just the guys that we heard from today and the ones that you listed, but just like, these are football guys, and they don't strike me as dudes that are out of their league in any way. Like, their expertise and the way that they go about looking at the game and talking about the game, they're not here for the hype. They're not here to like try and sell us on themselves or their program. Like, they're here to coach. And they're here to like they're football guys, and I like that because it just seems like there's a different level of expertise, in my opinion, with this staff. And I haven't watched these guys coach a game, but just looking at their backgrounds, especially from the top, with the coordinators, and just think about where Florida has been previously with its coordinator situations. So I like that. One thing that was also interesting about this staff, and I've covered every single coaching staff since Urban Meyer's staff, so I've never seen this when a new coaching staff got hired. I've never seen this, and again, it doesn't matter, but I just thought it was interesting. There's probably more than half of the coaches, including Summerall, when they showed up for their first, like, press conference, they all came around the room and like met every single media member and shook our hands. And it wasn't like a quick, like, they wanted to come meet us and try to get everybody's name.
Somebody walked up to Mark Long and said, like, I just want to shake his hand.
No,
y'all took Mark out the cage.
They got everybody. But I just thought that was, I mean, again, that doesn't mean anything, but it's different. Like, a lot of coaches just come in and get jumped straight on that podium. And some of them didn't do that now. Buster Faulkner didn't do that.
Okay.
Buster Faulkner's not interested in being anybody's friend. He's here to call ball plays.
That's how I like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the vibe I got from these guys, and it was refreshing.
For sure.
talking, doing my like get to know you series and interview series, like Buster Faulkner finishes the get to know you questions. None of them are about football. It's just about them as people. And he looks at me, he's like, I don't even talk about myself that much at family game night. And then we get to the football questions. He's just, I can't get him to stop talking. But like, I think it was to your point, doing my interviews, like Gasparato struck me as like matching Summerall's intensity. Like, just want to coach football, potentially get in line and go through drills. McKissick was one that was interesting to me. He was like, he was raving about Amir Jackson. He was asking, he was like, you know Kyle Pitts? I was like, I covered him. He's like, can we get him back here? I was like, I don't know. Can we find a judge?
Apparently the Gainesville judge.
Find a judge, get an injunction, maybe. But yeah, Marcus Davis, he tried my ass. I mentioned that I knew Rod Johnson. He said I played Rod. I played with Rod in high school. What do you mean? That's crazy. That's a crazy reaction. That's a crazy reaction.
No, that's nuts. That's nuts.
That's a crazy reaction.
He tried his ass. Corey.
He tried me. Well, he was like, oh, you know Rod Johnson? I was like, yeah. He's like, I
played high school. Like a sample of it, man. Like Costco?
No, I don't even have a Costco up here. I like
Brad. So it's immature, man. You guys got to grow up, man.
I like Brad White a lot too. It'll be interesting to me. We talked about it a little bit last week. What the defense looks like, because I don't think Florida. I don't think Florida has the guys or the personnel right now to really run what they ran at Kentucky, like a true four down front.
Right.
And we were talking, like the way that Brad was talking, it didn't seem like, hey, I'm going to force it. And I'm going to tell Jaden Woods, hey, put your hand down in the dirt and figure it out. So I'll be interested to see once we get to spring what the defense looks like. And if you're going to be adjusting what you do and what you're used to doing to what you have, or kind of what we've seen with less successful coaching staffs, where you're trying to force what you have into what you want to do, whether it fits or it doesn't. Pause.
That's gonna be tough. Like my expectation, I think I like what he did at Kentucky because he calls us hell, and I think Kentucky had a good defense. Like
he gave Dan Mullen hell, and Dan Mullen can draw up some X's nose on Saturday.
Yeah, Mark Stoops is a bad man too, bro. So like
they derailed the Anthony Richardson train. Week one, it was crazy off to Utah, and then they just came in and
for sure. I mean, that's not a hard train to derail, but.
Just throw a toothpick on it.
They gave us a run for our money last year. I'm like, honestly, who didn't? Everybody knew the 12 plays we was running.
Yeah. So. Nah, but he causes problem around the league. Like,
yeah,
Stoops does.
Yeah. To Nick's point, defense. I mean, he was doing it to Dan. They did it to McElwain.
Right. Yeah.
That don't mean much either. I was a part of it, but.
In the locker room for the they're still Kentucky, Jordan?
No, I was part of the reason why he was out of there. I was back at home with my feet up.
That was part of the reason he was out of there.
I can tell the story now. What was the year that they left? Who was wide open in the end zone? Was it Swain?
I was there that year. Yeah.
Actually, so then what he said in the locker room.
I'm sorry. I watched it on TV. I was not there because that was the year I got suspended. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They twice, right?
That was 17.
I guess I guess it was 17, and they beat him, and in the locker room, he's talking to the team, and like they had no business winning that game, and they won, and he's like yada 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 yada, and then at the end he goes. But they're still effing Kentucky, and they didn't. And I was told that they didn't like that messaging. Some of the folks in the UAA, they were not happy about that.
They're too proper around here, man. We got to talk greasy. You can't talk greasy about the football game.
Not this staff.
Yeah, but maybe I think they knew. They maybe saw what some of that was going to lead to.
Right.
Zach, want to ask you, we talked a little bit about it last week. They talked about having an open QB competition. How do you think all of that plays out? Do you think it's truly open? I mean, I know that what the answer is yes, but do we think that Philo has a little bit of a head start on him, a big jump over Tremelli? What do you think going into this offseason?
I think it's clear he's got a leg up. Yeah. How much of a leg up? How much of an advantage?
Joe's like Anthony Richardson versus Kentucky, off the rails.
I mean, we'll find out in the spring what that looks like, but you just have to think, being a year older, having been in the system, is going to give him an advantage. But Tremel's also been here. He's got a relationship with these guys. I'm sure he's closer with a lot of the offensive players than Aaron is. So in terms of chemistry, and like, once Tremel gets to a point that he's got the playbook down and feels comfortable, like, he's going to have some advantages, I think. And I'll be honest, there's probably guys in that locker room that want to see Tremel win the job. And just because of the relationship that they have with him, 100%. Like he's, for sure. He is one of the guys. Like, you put him in there with VB and Dallas and Drake Stubbs, like that whole crew, that whole class that came in. I mean, Tremel's one of their boys. So because of that, there's going to be two things. There's going to be support for him. And number two, and more importantly, if Aaron doesn't win the job and they try to give it to him, that ain't going to fly.
Facts.
That ain't going to fly with this locker room and with the kind of guy that Tremel is. So Aaron's going to really have to win the job, in my opinion.
Yeah, like outright. It has to be like clear as day. It can't even be like a close call.
Correct. Correct.
In the locker room, yeah.
There were other schools coming after Tremel Jones, like trying to get him to go into the portal. I can't speak to like how seriously he was considering that, but like a conversation was had with Tremel, and despite like bringing in a guy who Buster, who the offensive coordinator, the play caller knows, like, hey, you're going to get a fair shake. So we'll see what it looks
That's
like.
All he but, wants.
Like, what Tremel was told, obviously, kept him here, never went into the portal. It will be interesting. We were talking about it a little bit, Zach. Like, I think you have a leg up in terms of knowledge of the playbook, but also the playbook that you had for what was his name? Georgia Tech starter.
Haynes
Luther
King.
Haynes King, man. Come on, man. What are we doing?
Sorry for Haynes.
Disrespect. Bro, put some respect on the man.
The playbook you have for him is not the playbook you'll have for Tremel Jones or for Aaron Philo. So it's like the stuff you've been practicing might not even be the stuff that they're going to be implementing and installing here. And then Tremel's got, you know, the experience throwing to Dallas and VB, TJ Abrams. And then you got a bunch of new guys in that room as well. Oh, K-Jack, Gainesville's very own.
That's right. Although I don't know how much time they had last year.
K-Jack, not much.
Haven't been a whole lot. What do you think from just like a talent level standpoint? Like, I want Tremel to win it as well. Just because I'm a Tremel fan, I like Tremel's mindset. You know, he's been here. I'm just loyal from that standpoint, bro. I want to see Tremel win the job, but I do think Philo has a leg up. Pause in the situation as well, because just two years of just knowing that offense, and he started. You know, he's gotten some playing time, so they got an offense for him. You know, and I'm pretty sure, like Buster, just like any other quarterback coach, you bring the guy over, that's your guy. We didn't get aggressive in the transfer portal for a reason. I'm sure he thinks highly of this kid. I don't think he's just trusting Tremel. I think he thinks very highly of this kid who he's seen for 2 years. And instead of getting aggressive like most teams.
Because they really should have got another quarterback.
Correct. Yeah, technically, yeah. I mean, we talked about that on this show.
All the scholarship guys they lost.
For sure. But I think he has you know, an advantage. But from a skill set standpoint, like, who you think, just arm strength, physical talents, feet, you know, just what you've seen from both of them, who you think got the advantage in that aspect?
I mean, I think Tremel's got the better arm. Tremel had a better arm than DJ. And I had people on the last staff that told me that. And when I say arm, I mean arm strength. Like, they felt
velocity,
like,
velo.
Yeah, Tramiel could do that better than anybody else in the room, including DJ. So, and we all knew, we all know how well DJ could throw the ball before his injuries. So, that says a lot to me that they thought that highly of Tramiel. And obviously, like Nick was saying, the coaching staff did. They had a conversation with him that was went well enough that he stayed. Because if it wouldn't have went well enough, he would have left. And I do think that there's going to be some – like I definitely think he'll be a better dual threat option, even though that's not really Tramiel's game. He is a pocket passer, and he's going to want to stand there and deliver the ball. I just think the disadvantages that he's at is knowledge of the offense, but also just like Aaron's played in some games. Like he helped mm-hmm. – they beat Miami with him under center.
Right.
And then he played in that NC State game. And then he's got the connection with Eric Singleton. That's going to help. But from a skill set standpoint, I don't know that there's a lot of advantages that Aaron has. I think that where he's going to have the advantages is the X's and O's and the experience aspect of it. And Tramiel's talent, though, might be able to overcome that. So I do think it's going to be a true competition because, again, they know, I think, the groundswell support that Tramiel has in that locker room. And if they do not play their cards right, it's not going to work out well.
How was it, like, Jordan, real quick, when you was in – because you was there with Appleby and Luke Dario, right?
Jordan had 40-11 different quarterbacks.
That was like, you know, I don't think that was foregone conclusion who was going to start, who was a better guy. Were those guys like helpful in the offseason with each other with like, you know, knowledge of the playbook, you know, team building? Like, what was that vibe like?
I think from what I saw, obviously I was in the quarterback room from time to time, but just from what I saw on the field, everything was pretty cordial. I'll say the one dude who was kind of like standoffish slash mad was like Treon or like, I can't think of who else was really like mad, not really want to, you know, be with the quarterbacks, you know, learn from the guys and coach up other guys. I would say, yeah, it's probably only Treon, but for the rest of them, like even through all my years, like everybody was helpful. Even Felipe, even through his time when he was battling with Kyle Trask and everybody else who was in the mix. And I think Luke Darrell was there with him as well. Or was it Appleby? I'm not sure, but however it was, I feel like everybody was really cordial, man. That's why I kind of was asking now. I was like earlier, and I think it was a couple shows ago, I was like, I think it all boils down to how good of a pal Aaron's going to be. You know, he knows the system. He's very familiar with it. Is he going to help these guys out along the way and say, I'm doing it for the logo and doing it for my team, or am I just going to leave when it's time to leave? And you figure it out, brother. Like, you don't get it, oh well. Because, you know, I think coaches can be great coaches, but sometimes, you know, you need a player perspective. And That goes a long way if you know somebody is around your age range and can maybe break it down to you in another way you understanding it. Because these coaches, man, they're so X's and O's and black and white. They explain things their way that they've been explaining for the past 10 years coaching. And if you don't get it, you're left, you know. So I think sometimes a player that's kind of like a player's coach kind of deal who can explain it to you in their way and how they understand it can also do big and help you a lot, man. I even used to do that in my time. All right, running back, you know, running back, no offense, is a real bonehead position. So we got a lot of crash outs. So just being honest. So they'll hear something and I'm like, how don't you understand? You know what I'm saying? But once I explain it to him in a different way, he's like, oh, coach, why the hell you just ain't say that, man? You tripping. No. Like, it's just those little things. And I don't think Tramiel's a bonehead guy. I think he's really smart. We spoke to him on the show. He's real smart. He speaks well. I think he'll be fine as far as picking up things. But it's just the little things that, you know, like you said, Aaron's played in some big games. He's been able to, you know, get some experience under his belt with this same type of playbook. So it's like he'll be able to be like, hey, man, coach explained it like this, but I'm just letting you know in the game that shit's not going to happen like that. So just be prepared for this and that as well. You know, I feel like if he's able to throw him some bones like that, even through training camp or through spring, like, listen, coach is calling us this way, but that just be mindful to check their other read before you just make your decision and do what you need to do. You know, I think that'll be vital in helping him out in the process. And I just don't know if he's that guy. I hope he's that guy because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all one team. So when if Aaron's the starter and Aaron goes down, I hope he doesn't want Jamel to go out there and stink it up. You feel me? Like, you still gonna get a ring if we all get a ring, brother. Let's help each other out.
Oh no, I ain't finna be friendly, man. Yeah, somebody gotta be top dog, bro. I don't think it's gonna be friendly at all.
Everybody getting paid regardless, right? Get your paper and shut up.
Yeah, but that pay ain't the same in December if you ain't starting. I promise you that.
Like, that's probably true.
That pay changes for whoever's starting and when the end of that season, for sure, for sure. I got one good question for you, man. This is a good one. Who you got as king of that wide receiver room right now? Very talented, bro. They brought in Singletary from Georgia Tech, who also knows the offense and has that relationship with Philo. But who you got top dog in the receiver room?
I mean, you got to look at Eric. Like, I just think that he's got to be that guy, only because of the experience year-wise that he is, and then just the time in the system, them knowing, Buster knowing what he can do with him as a receiver. You know, I just think that he's going to be one of their go-to guys, or if not their go-to guy. Vernell would be, to me, the one that you is next in line, even though Dallas, out of the three of them, has the most potential and the highest ceiling and is the biggest freak. But he's coming off the injury and hasn't – I mean, the dude caught 12 passes last year. So it's a lot more potential with Dallas, and whereas – there's way more proof in the pudding with Eric. Now, VB3 did what he did last year. Like, he led the team in receiving. He's, you know, he won, you know, all SEC honors as a freshman. But he's still got way more to go in his game. And I think that they probably look at Eric as their go-to guy.
Bro, you know what's crazy? As good of a season as VB3 had, he didn't get no touchdowns.
Didn't score. I mean, he's had the one that he – caught in Florida State game that they ruled incomplete, but yeah, they didn't go to him in the red zone.
We didn't score much touchdowns all year.
That's true.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Say that about a lot of people, Nick.
We went into the half with 53 total yards of offense one game.
Yeah. So, but like, I also think, to that point, like, I think Vernell can get used better. I'm excited to see what he can
Everybody
do.
Everybody can get used better, bro.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see what he can do in an air raid offense where they're going to, God willing, put four wide receivers on the field. That's going to be exciting.
You're speaking like an air raid style?
Yeah, that's what Buster Faulkner's comes from. Listen, man, when he was the OC at Arkansas State, I think it was, in 2017, they had the number 5 passing offense in the country.
Wow.
In the FBS, number 5. And they were top 10 total offense, top 10 scoring offense, but they were number 5 passing offense. Like, everybody knows him for what he did at Georgia Tech, but the dude comes from that air raid. Like, if he's got a quarterback that can sling it and receivers that can catch it, like, they're going to do it. And that's what's exciting to me, because now the question is, do they got a quarterback?
That running back, man. He got I like the air raid talk, but you get out here and get too sexy and you don't feed
that. Well,
and
you got to have a quarterback that can do it. Like, you know, you got to have a quarterback that can go out there and throw for 400 yards in a game. I don't know that, you know, if one of these guys are ready to fire out of the gate like that, you 100% are going to lean on number 13. Like, you got to. Yeah. There are just going to be some air raid principles and philosophies and, you know, formations and stuff. We'll see.
You know, that opened up the run really and truly. So if we got a quarterback that can stretch it down the field and you scared of us picking you apart through the air, I mean, that's making 13's job way easier.
Gotta load that box.
Yeah, I'm about to say way easier than it's ever been for him in his entire career, I would say. I don't think there's ever been a time where he had to, you know, not be that guy for us offensively. So I think that'd be great for us. Honestly, that's great to hear.
Before we get, go ahead.
No, I was even watching just some film room stuff for like Buster's offense, and I feel like he does a lot of like window dressing as well. Like, that's one thing I like about it. A lot of pre-shifts and motions, you know, just to kind of get into a formation where you knew a defense going would probably call something different to this person, and like you coming out and let's just say 12, and your defensive coaches, they real short and sweet with stuff. I know you coming out in 12. I know what you like to run out of 12. You're hopping in a 2x2 set. All right, I got the perfect play call for you. We're just going to run 3 match here, and we're going to just live with it. And all of a sudden, emotions to 3x1 before the play. You're like, oh, shit, now I'm in trouble because I might be in here where I got a whole shot through the seam or something. So just watching him over time and watching the tape, I like what he does and just kind of messes with the defense all the time. He's just not – we're going to get out, and this is what we saw a lot of last year, get out there, line up, and just run what we're going to run because this is what we do and this is our bread and butter. I think he takes his time in making sure that he's making the right play call each play.
To that point, Jordan, here, the running back coach, Chris Foster, today got asked about Buster's offense, and this is what he said. He said, to me, it's a pro-style hybrid offense. If you're a running back and you want to go pro, this is a great offense to play in. He said, it's very unconventional as far as sets. The thing I really like about it is you got to cover every blade of grass within the play. So –
I like
that. Sounds good.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, especially with the weapons we got, we just need a little something offensively, man. We've been begging for it. So hopefully everything comes into fruition for us this year, man, because I think we, as Gator fans, we're in dire need of a great season.
The Gator line, Gators online subscribers wouldn't let me live if I didn't ask Billy why he wouldn't put 4 wide receivers on the field. And I finally asked him. He said, we got to keep a tight end on the field so they don't know our coverage or they don't know our protection.
They know that can give you everything.
Tight ends and 2 wide receivers.
I don't know. They know everything, Billy. You got 6 plays, bro. They know it all.
What's that, Denzel? Like,
I got 3. I got 6 plays. Yeah. It works like Novocaine. Yeah,
works like Novocaine. Bruh, you spend
Coach Herman Boone.
You spend millions and millions of dollars in the wide receiver room, and then you know the tight end room is just scraps, bro. You don't have no real investment there. You keep putting 2 tight ends on the field to do nothing. Like, that was the craziest. Like all these coaches,
bro. It drove Shane Matthews crazy.
Bro, it drove me crazy. But listen, like all these coaches, coaches are just stubborn people. Like Mullen had his things where like he heard something from the fan base and instead of like adjusting, he would just stick to it. Like he wouldn't change.
Oh, y'all want me to start Anthony Richardson? Yeah. All
right. Right.
Georgia game. Here y'all go.
Like just to be a jerk, bro. Like
he's all an these coaches like that.
Oh, you want a Ferrari? Here's Khalil Jackson. No offense. You know.
Yeah. Oh man.
So all good.
No, you're right.
Man, well, Zach, we appreciate you for joining the show as always. Let everybody know. I'm sure most everybody does, but if not, let everybody know where they can find you and read your work.
Yeah, man, I'm at Gators Online, and then doing the radio show again, which is awesome. Monday through Friday on WRUF, streaming on YouTube, and then even still teaching at UF as well, man. I'm blessed to be able to do it. My schedule, though, these next 2 months are hell. It's my son's in baseball, and I every day of my week. Between that and spring football, I literally, for the first time, had to, map out my schedule and figure out where the hell I'm going to be each night. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's better to be busy than bored.
Telling you.
That's right. Make sure you give Zach a call on the WRUF time block when they take those phone calls and give yourself a fun moniker and then just call every day. Give Zach and Jeff something to do because a 4-hour block.
Lance showed back up, Zach.
Yes, yeah, a 2-hour show. Yeah, we had
2-hour show. Okay.
Yeah, we had Lance come back he hadn't called back again, but he called at the end of the year. He came
Lance
back
from Jasper. Gym. If you're watching, Zach,
Lance and Jasper. Shout out to legend, him.
Mad man.
Lance was doing a bit. He was gone for
he was with Speedy, man. Half,
5 years.
That man said, if you don't like my peaches, don't shake my tree.
Man, well, we appreciate it, Zach. Thanks so much for joining, brother. We'll have you on in the next couple weeks, couple months.
All right, boys. Y'all take care, man.
Appreciate it. Zach, always a great time. An OG of this show. Let's get to a couple quick ad reads out of the way, and then we'll wrap up. Is that good with you guys?
Sounds like a plan.
Cool. One time for our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout to get 20% off of your order. Softest cotton, all retro and vintage designs. Again, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word at checkout. And if they don't have what you're looking for, go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall or at alumnihall.com. Located right in Gainesville, Florida, they have 2 for $40 shirts available. You get 2 shirts for $40. The largest selection of Florida Gator apparel in all of Gainesville. So go check them out either on their store on Archer Road, in their store, pardon me, or online at alumnihall.com. So again, that's homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale, and Alumni Hall and alumnihall.com.
Very nice.
I think leads us to the end. Jordan, sad I couldn't meet up with you this weekend, but we're going to do it again soon.
Yeah. I actually ended up coming out downtown that night, and a bunch of people were out from the concert.
Right.
My wife ate at Lenore's, I think it's called.
Oh, shout out Lenore's, man.
It was fire.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a Palm Beach staple right there, brother.
By the time we got out of the restaurant, it was like a bunch of crazy people. Women have dressed butt cheeks out. I'm like,
yep. We was riding around. I didn't park, bro, but it was like too many streets blocked off. It was a lot going on, man. Ubered, so we didn't even park.
I knew Uber.
Yeah, right when it was ending, there was a bunch of people that I think got stuck not knowing that the concert was about to end, and they were just honking their horns. I'm like, my brother in Christ, you've got about 45 minutes worth of honking your horn before something's going to happen. But we'll arrange it soon. You guys got anything else before we wrap up? We appreciate everybody for watching. If you can hit the like button, the subscribe button, we've been having problems. There's a problem on X, the Everything app today, where it's not linking to the space. So we appreciate everybody for that that watched and joined. And everybody that commented, we always appreciate that. Any final things before we get out of here, boys?
No, man.
Nope.
Gator boys, stay hot.
Gator boys, stay hot. And shout out to our friend Valen, not to be confused with his nickname Velo being actual Velo. So we will see you guys same corner, same time next week. We've got a couple special guests in the next couple weeks. So we're excited to bring this to you guys, and then we'll get to the spring practice in just a couple weeks. So we'll see you guys same corner, same time next week.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.